Proverbs chapter 8. 2 weeks ago, we began looking at Proverbs chapter 8, which is a chapter on wisdom. And remember that it's in contrast to chapter 7. Chapter 7 portrays a woman of ill repute, as we say, a harlot, calling out to young men to draw them in. And then when we come to chapter 8, there's the call of wisdom to draw men and women to wisdom. And when we finished 2 weeks ago, we were at verse 13. So begin at verse 14. Let me read a few verses, and then we'll examine some of these. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And this is wisdom speaking, personified, and God is wisdom. And later on, after we get to verse 22 and following, we'll see a lot of similarities with Christ himself, who has made unto us wisdom. But here's wisdom crying out, and look at verse 14. Counsel, sound wisdom, understanding, strength. Those four things are in verse 14. Counsel has to do with advice. The phrase sound wisdom has to do with help or aid. And think about somebody going seeking counsel. They're looking for a counselor. Well, verse 14 says, advice is with me, and sound wisdom. You need aid. You need support. Then he says understanding as well. And when people are looking for counseling, they're looking for support. They're looking for advice. They're looking for somebody that will understand what they're going through there. And so God says, it's with me, wisdom. And then it says strength. People that are looking for counselors, they're also looking to empower themselves to overcome whatever issue they have that they're taking to the counselor. And so God says there is advice and there's support, there's understanding, there's strength, and it's in God and his word there. And so whenever we need counsel, it's not wrong to go to another human being to get advice and counsel and support and understanding and comfort and strength. But we can go to God and get that as believers. We can go right to him, and it is there in his word. Then wisdom continues on its invitation in verse 15, where it says, by me, kings reign. You know, and in many customs, a king is almost treated like God. You have to have permission to go in to see them. You don't just go in on your own, or you're executed if you do there. And so kings reign, it says in verse 15, by wisdom. When they reign, they are having rulership over other people. And people that have authority and rulership over the other people certainly need wisdom. You need wisdom anytime you're dealing with people. And if you're going to have an authority over them and dictate to them what to do, you certainly need wisdom. And God says that is with him. And not only do kings reign, but princes, they decree justice. The word for princes here is a word that has to do with honor because of a position. People that are in certain positions are to be honored because of that position. sometimes there are people in position that are not very honorable in and of themselves, their character. But here, this word has to do with position. We'll see another word that's different in just a minute. And these princes, those that are in this position of honor, they make laws. That's what it means when it says they decree justice. So when people are making laws, when they're writing laws, in America, when people are writing these new laws, and they are writing the consequences that will go along with breaking these laws, they need wisdom, don't they? And so God gives to us that kind of wisdom with princes that decree justice. Then verse 16, by me, princes rule. Now here's a different word. This is not the word from verse 15 that has to do with honor because of a position. This is a word that has to do with rank. A person is prince or higher in rank. Think about maybe a captain in the military. You know, he has a certain rank. And whenever we think of Jesus, who is called the counselor from Isaiah, he's the wonderful counselor. He is the prince of peace. He ranks up there at the top. Nobody gives peace like Jesus. So when someone is looking for counsel and they want guidance and they want understanding and they want comfort and they want strength and they want advice, who's the Prince of Peace that gives contentment and counsel? We can go to Jesus. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But you know, there's a lost world out there of people who need counsel and they're not saved. They don't have a wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, to whom they can go. And what a wonderful thing we have, that we have all the counsel we need right here in the Word of God, and we can even use it also to help counsel other people that need Jesus as well. We'll continue looking at verse 16. He said, by me, princes rule, those people of rank. They rule like the kings do, and also nobles. Those who are noble, this is a word having to do with people that volunteer to do anything. And people that volunteer to help other people, those are noble acts. And that's the idea of this word here. And we need wisdom even whenever we're doing that. Because there are some people who pretend to be in need, and they'll take you for a ride, won't they? Even if you're trying to be noble and do something good, some people will take advantage of that. And so we need wisdom in our noble actions as well. Not only nobles, but all the judges of the earth. This is a word that's used in the book of Judges when God sent all these judges along. And what did the judges do? They delivered. They delivered Israel. Whenever they were in sin and they forgot God, he would send a judge to deliver them. And so whenever these judges are used for deliverance, there's being sort of like the idea is an arbitrator, a litigator, you know, a lawyer there. And they are coming to deliver someone. And we need wisdom in doing that. And the Lord is that for us. Now verse 17. God, who is wisdom, says, I love them that love me. It is not natural within man to love God. The natural man goes away from God. Now, does God love those who don't love him? Sure he does. God loves the whole world there. But as God loves his family, there is a special relationship there for those who love him. Remember Galatians 6:10? He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. And those, especially those who are of the household of faith. So wisdom says, I love those that love me in a special way. It's not that I don't love the other ones. And so those that are loving wisdom will benefit from loving wisdom. In verse 17, he says, those that seek me, wisdom, early shall find me there. And wisdom looks at the wise people and the choices they make and rewards them accordingly. And whenever we love wisdom, we're going to seek wisdom early. The idea of early is the idea of setting it as a priority. And there are many ways we can look at early. We can say early in the morning, before I start the day, I'm going to seek wisdom. Early in my life, get saved early and find Christ early in life rather than later. But also, even when we're going through trials and circumstances, rather than waiting until, well, everything else has failed, I think I'll go to God in prayer now. Well, rather than waiting till last, let's seek Him early. Let's go to God first in prayer before we try all the other things there. And there's wisdom that God gives to us. Then we see in the next verse, 18, riches and honor. And then also in verse 18, at the end of the verse, you see riches and righteousness. And these two things are, there are two couplets there. First of all, there's riches and honor. And these two words used together refer to all different kinds of wealth, riches and honor. There's wealth of having a lot of cattle, having a lot of descendants. Sometimes you'll see in the Bible that was a wealthy thing, having a lot of land, riches and honor. It says, they are with me. Then he says, yea, durable. There are some riches that are not durable. There are some, like the Bible says, like, you know, the money has wings, you know, and it just flies away. Well, that's the way some riches are. But now he says, durable riches and righteousness here. And this word riches is a different word than the other word for riches here. And this refers to a wealth that is sufficient, that it's enough. And the other kind of riches, that of land and houses and possessions, those things don't ever satisfy. The Bible says the eyes of man are never full, always wanting more. But the wisdom that God gives with righteousness, riches and righteousness are sufficient. When we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, that is sufficient. That is a durable riches, because the other things we don't take with us. But the righteousness of Christ is eternal, and so it's a durable riches that we have. Verse 19, my fruit, that is the fruit of wisdom, the reward that wisdom gives, is better than gold, even fine gold. And my revenue, or my harvest, my income, is better than choice silver. So the eternal benefit, the reward that we get for having wisdom is priceless. So taking a slogan from, modified from, I think it's MasterCard, don't leave earth without it. Don't leave home without it. Well, don't leave earth without wisdom there, because it's eternal, the benefits we have. Verse 26. That zero looks like a six in my Bible. I think it's my eyes. He says, I lead. Wisdom will lead us. The word lead is a word that has to do with movement in any direction, but without any particular destination in mind. But the destination is given to us in verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness. Remember, we saw that word in verse 18, riches and righteousness. Wisdom will lead us in the way of righteousness, right in the middle, in the midst of paths of judgment there. And so true eternal wealth comes with righteousness. It's something that is durable, and it's the only way to go, the only path to go, the way of righteousness, the path of judgment there. And we need wisdom. We need sound judgment in our lives. Verse 21, wisdom continue to speak, that I, wisdom, may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures there. And so here's a cause and effect. Wisdom says, I will cause those that love me to have some good results. I will give them substance. That's a word that has to do with anything that exists. And anything we have comes from God, doesn't it? Doesn't matter if it's a little or a lot. Everything we have comes from God, who is wisdom. And he causes those that love wisdom, and those that love wisdom are pursuing wisdom. We pursue things we love. We avoid things we hate. So when we pursue God's wisdom, he rewards us in giving us that wisdom and also the substance that comes with it. Doesn't mean we're going to be wealthy. People take these verses out of context and have a gospel of wealth and ease with those. But wisdom says in verse 21 that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance that I will fill. And there's the word for completeness and satisfaction and contentment there, because material things won't do it. He says, but I will fill their treasures there. Malachi uses that word and calls it a storehouse. And the book of Luke, we read about a garner where things are stored. We call them banks. And so here, wisdom says, I will make a lot of deposits in your spiritual bank account there. When we seek God's wisdom, he will give it to us, James tells us. Now, verse 22. When we begin at verse 22, I read all the way through verse 21 earlier. I want to begin at verse 22 and read through verse 31. So follow along as I read there. And notice some similarities to Christ, who is wisdom, and we'll see some of those in just a minute. Verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heaven, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree and the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, when I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the inhabitable part of the earth, his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men there. And so there's so much there, and some things that it's hard for us to understand exactly all the things he's talking about, because some of those things have to do with before time began, if I could say that. There's, you know, before they started counting time with days there. Let's go back to verse 22 and work our way through this. The Lord, all caps, we know that means Jehovah. So Jehovah God possessed me in the beginning. God is all wise. He has all wisdom. He's omniscient. And he's had wisdom all the time. Eternity past, as we say sometime. He's always had wisdom. It says, before his works of old. And so Christ, who is wisdom, was with God before he created the heavens and the earth. The Trinity is eternal. Jesus is eternal, just like God the Father. Jesus didn't begin at the incarnation. He began as a man at the incarnation, but he is eternal. So he says, the Lord possessed me before he did any creative works. Verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. That little phrase, I was set up, is a word that has to do with often with pouring things out. It's used often in the drink offerings whenever they had the tabernacle, and they would pour out the drink offerings. And so here it is, the idea of wisdom being poured out. And we think about Christ, who was offered for us as a sacrifice as well, even before the foundation of the earth. God had slain Christ before he ever created Adam and Eve, because God is not restricted to time. And so in his mind, when something is done, there's no past, present, and future with God, which is hard for us to comprehend with our finite minds. Now, the next verse, verse 23, or 24, I guess I am now. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water there. And so Christ is circling the earth. This phrase has to do with twirling or twisting there, the paths of the seas. Christ was there before the mountains were settled. And then he says, I'm older than the hills, in verse 25. Before the hills was I brought. You've heard that phrase, oldest of hills. Well, God's wisdom is older than the hills. He's always had wisdom. Maybe that phrase came from this verse here. Wisdom has been around a lot longer than foolishness, hasn't it? Wisdom was with God from all eternity past. Foolishness didn't come into the world until man came along in the Garden of Eden there. Now we go to the next verse, 26. While as yet he had not made the earth, wisdom says God hadn't made the earth yet, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. So what all is he talking about that God hadn't made yet? He hadn't made the earth. Well, if he hadn't made the earth, he hadn't made man, has he? Because where did man come from? The earth. And that's very likely what he's talking about when he has that phrase, the highest part of the dust. The word highest is a word that has to do with the head or the chief part. And the head of all God's creation, he put man as dominion over all of his creation. And he was made from dust. And so wisdom says before the earth was there or the fields or even Adam that was made from dust, he says, I was there. Verse 27, when he prepared the heavens, that is, he brought them into existence there. God created them. He said, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the earth. Get two of you to look up a couple of verses for me. Isaiah 40, 22. Okay, Matt. And Job 22, 14. Job 22, 14. Have a taker there. Okay, Miriam. All right. This word compass, as we're looking at here, is a Hebrew word that's only used three times in the Old Testament. And the other two times are the two verses we're going to read in just a minute, but neither one of them have the word compass in them. So in this verse, verse 27, it says, when God, or when he prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, or Christ, was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep there. So, Matt, will you read Isaiah 40, 22?
It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens of the earth, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in.
He talks about the circle of the earth. And that word circle is the same word here that's translated compass, the circle of the earth. The earth is round there. Then in Job 22, we saw this verse several Sunday nights ago as we were going through it. Miriam? 14. He walks through the circuit of heaven. That's the compass. God walks to and fro. He circles the earth. His earth is a circle there. And wisdom says, before God made the earth, or even man, before he prepared the heaven and the compass, the circle of the face of the earth, verse 28, when he established the clouds above, as high as you can get, or when he strengthened the fountains of the deep to the lowest ocean, from as high as you can go to as low as you can go, wisdom said, I was there. Verse 29, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. So God said, waters, don't go any farther than here. You know, you can't go any farther. God decreed all that, and the waters certainly obeyed him. He says, and when he appointed the foundations of the earth. And what is the foundation of the earth? On what is the earth resting? In order to stand, it's got to have a foundation. And the foundation of the earth, well, we used to sing a song when I was a kid. He's got the whole world in his hands. That's the foundation. The hand of God is holding it up. The wisdom of God created it all. There, what a powerful, wise God we serve. Verse 30, get to an end here. When I was by him, as one brought up with him. And so you have the idea of a child. Jesus is the Son of God, and he was, we use that phrase sometimes, oh, we were brought up together, you know. And here he says, I was brought up with God, though God never had a beginning, but we understand the terminology there. He's always been. He says, I was daily his delight there. And God still takes pleasure in wisdom. When we make wise choices that honor him, he says, rejoicing, verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. Now the earth is habited. He's made man from the dust of the earth, and people are living there, and he's rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And the sons of men would be talking about the people that are inhabiting the earth now. It's not talking about, as Genesis talks about, the sons of God. It refers to angels sometimes, that phrase, but angels are never referred to as sons of men here. And so wisdom is needed in the habitable part of the earth. That's where we live. And we have wisdom, we have counsel, we have strength, we have comfort, we have all that we need. God's word is wisdom to us. So when we need direction and guidance and we need answers, we can go to God's word. It's always been there. You want someone who has age and experience? God says he's older than the hills. He's got it all, and we can go to him. Let's pray.